getting set up and starting as a scrum master. Like, you take those courses to get certified, but it really doesn't tell you how to do the job. And I couldn't find a good resource that like walk, okay, like, yeah, okay, these sprint ceremonies, how do you actually run it? So I packaged and created this course to help other either new scrum teams or new scrum masters get an idea of what it looks like.
Welcome back to TechLens, a podcast to help you feel less stressed and more focused to calm the chaos of consulting. Let's be inspired by the possibility that we can be happier by doing less in an industry obsessed with constant optimization. I'm your host, April Rest. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back, everybody, to the TechLex podcast. I'm your host, April Rest. And today, we get to talk with Anita Smith, who helps Scrum teams optimize productivity with ready-made templates. She's the founder of Anita Unboxed, a Salesforce certified administrator and business analyst, certified Scrum Master, podcaster, and she's also on the Texas Dreamin' Planning Committee. She's also a friend of mine, which I love. Anita, thank you for coming on today. I'm glad you're here.
I am so happy to be here. I'm excited for you and your new podcast. Thank you for inviting me as a guest. I love it. For listeners out there, April and I met during MBF's Rise Up program. It's a women in tech. Well, doesn't necessarily have to be women, but tech leadership program. And it was amazing.
It was amazing. Shout out, Emma.
Yay, Emma.
Woo! It was amazing. Okay. So Anita, well, it's funny that you mentioned the Rise Up program, because at the time, I don't think that Anita Unboxed had been launched yet. Was that a concept? And can you tell us what that is for our listeners out there?
Yeah. So Anita Unboxed came about, and it's really funny how it came about. So I had this idea because when I was getting set up and starting as a scrum master, like, you take those courses to get certified, but it really doesn't tell you how to do the job. And I couldn't find a good resource that like walked, okay, like, yeah, okay, these sprint ceremonies, how do you actually run it? So I packaged and created this course to help other either new scrum teams or new scrum masters get an idea of what it looks like. So there's templates in the course. There are lessons to show you how to use the templates and explain how these meetings are run. A lot of stuff from like agendas, emails, meeting scheduling templates, meeting note templates, stuff like that. So this is what I wish I had when I first started. And I had these thoughts in my mind for maybe like, I want to say 6 months. And it was Emma who like helped me launch it in like 6 weeks. I think the thing I needed, I was just like, I'm so new, you know, I've only been a scrum master for like a year or two. How can I create a course? But I mean, if you think of your audience, it's for people where I'm like just slightly one step ahead in their career. And Emma was like, I give you permission. Like, I don't know why I needed that permission, but it really made my mind shift. I was like, okay, I'm going to start Anita Unbox because I might create more courses. And my first course will be Scrum in a Box.
I love this so much for so many reasons. One, 6 weeks is impressive. I almost used the F-bomb, and I've labeled this podcast as clean.
You can always bleep it out, right?
I don't know. I kind of want to say it, but maybe I need to take it off clean. I digress, though. Yeah, so 6 weeks, and then this idea of giving ourselves permission What was that like for you, just working through that process of giving yourself permission?
I just needed someone to give me permission because it feels weird. You know, you get this imposter syndrome. You're like, oh, I don't know. Like, what if I give out bad information or I lead someone down the wrong path? I mean, I had so many doubts in my head, and Emma was right there with responses to every single one. And once I got over that, everything went by really fast. I was able to move forward and had a lot of support from people, and like have people giving me great feedback that like the course actually helps them. So I'm like, okay, all right, I did good.
We love this. We love this. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I think that you're spot on, whether somebody is newer in their career or just newer to more of a Scrum framework. It's like, unless the organization they're working for has some great documentation, our friend becomes Google. So I wish I had had that when I was starting out. That probably would have made my life a lot easier. And that of the teams, right? Because a big part of Scrum is enabling the team. It's not like sitting here as a Scrum master puppet manager. It's helping them kind of get out of their own way. So just having those templates probably would have really helped. And the
Exactly.
guidance, and you know, and that guidance.
Yeah, I remember when I first started out, I was just like, is this right? Am I doing this right? I mean, no one is saying I'm doing it wrong, but I'd like reassurance. That's another part of the program. It's like, yeah, this is what not what should happen, but like it's okay, like that you're feeling this way. Scrum is just a framework, so it's very flexible on how you do it. So you're okay. Anyone listening out there just starting out, like you feel a little uncomfortable, you feel a little weird. It's fine.
Think it's normal to feel uncomfortable when we're doing something new.
Yeah.
At least that's what I tell myself. So what does Scrum look like in your day-to-day? And what are some principles in your day-to-day that, you know, you have implemented just to help yourself or to help your team?
Yeah, so I love using templates. My every day I'll have a daily Scrum, about 15-minute meeting, kind of like a connect meeting, with my team. And it, you know, it's evolved. You have to adapt. I mean, before when I had a smaller team, it was easier to follow those three questions everyone says to ask during Scrum. But as my team grew, like 15 minutes was not enough. So we had to pivot and do it a different way. So my mornings, there's a huge time difference with everyone on my team. Half my team is in IST time zone. I'm in Central time zone, and the other half is in Pacific time zone. So I'm
Wow.
in a sweet spot because I'm like in between. So my Scrum call is it exactly when I log on, it's about like 2 hours into my day. So I have that morning to prep for that call. So I'll just review emails, and we use Jira, so review that as well and prep for the meeting. I'm very good at suggesting to my team to use Jira comments a lot, so that way that saves time on our call because we already have most of the updates. You know, it doesn't have to be a meeting just to like give the status, right? Like then we can focus on blockers and solving problems. And then depending on where we are in the sprint, I always have a sprint planning session at the beginning of the sprint, a sprint review at the end, and then a retro. I will always have those occasionally. We'll have grooming calls when it calls for it. And I'm part of a bigger team, so we do have weekly scrum of scrum calls. So it's like scrum, but like a representative of the team goes there, and it is kind of a status update, but it also helps when someone has a blocker because then you have a group of people that can help you unblock that. But most of my meetings, because of the time change, are in the morning. So I have a lot of focus time in the afternoon.
Oh, I love focus time. For listeners out there that aren't as familiar with Scrum, can you break down? I think you talked about the stand up. Can you break down the sprint planning, grooming, retrospective, and the Scrum of Scrum? Like, what do those mean, and how does it help you and the team stay on track?
So little background with how Scrum works. It's just a framework, kind of like a newer version of project management. The old school version is waterfall, where you plan the entire project for like a year and expect everything to go to plan, and like it doesn't work. That's not realistic. With Scrum, you only plan a specific amount of time. Most people do 2 week sprints, or maybe 4 weeks. So a sprint is just like time box for when you do the work. This is very popular in software development, but even industries outside of IT use this process. So with sprint planning, it's the first meeting of like day one of the sprint, where you basically what I go through. I have a template that I use. That I've created, like you can create templates in Confluence. So I just click a button, create a new sprint planning thing, and then like everything I want on it is there. So, I'll go over the important dates of the different meetings, when deployment is, when we need to have our approvals done. And then I will go through any upcoming holidays, whether we're a global team. So I will list out, depending on the country everyone's from, I'll list out upcoming holidays. And, half my team is in India, so there's like regional holidays too. So I have to do all that. Important thing to note, only twice a year, you got daylight savings. India doesn't participate in that. Not every state in the US participates in daylight savings. The calendar invite will adapt, but when you're so used to showing up for Scrum same time every day, it's good to give a reminder to your team, like, hey, this is going to change on your calendar. Please show up not an hour before or after.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of people over in India too, and I don't think I gave them a heads up. Oopsies.
Yeah. And then, like, with Europe, like, our daylight savings is like 3 weeks apart.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
right. Oh
Yeah.
gosh.
So remembering to do stuff like that. But then now I'll go and ask, does anyone have any planned time off? Because we can't plan the work we're gonna do if like someone's out, and then if they're out, we need to make a backup plan, like, okay, who's gonna do this and cover them? And then we'll break it down. Like the product owner and I will talk beforehand of what we want to work on during the sprint. You can also do it during sprint planning. We try to minimize our meeting time, because there's like maybe 30 minutes overlap if you're looking at working hours between everyone in my team. So I feel really bad that my team is staying up late. So I'm trying to cut down these meetings to as short as possible. So we'll break down every user story or bug into like tasks for different people, like who's testing this, because I have a big team. I have multiple developers and testers and like all that, and any information, like, is there anything not clear that like are next steps, stuff like that. So we'll break it down. Also, like, we'll call out any risks, which mostly if we're like doing any type of integration, we have to work with another team, there's always a risk, because it's hard to work with other teams because they have other priorities, so things don't get done as quickly as you would like to. And sandbox refreshes, those do sometimes if you don't remember that they're coming, and you're like, oh no, my code. So that's sprint planning. Next, sprint review. This happens basically on the last day of the sprint. Kind of like a show and tell demo. Talk through any challenges, if we have to pull out a story. But this is mostly for your stakeholders to like see what you're about to deploy and what you built. and like to kind of figure out what to do next, get their input and feedback on what to do next after that. And then right after is the retro, where it's just the team. You the basic questions you ask is what went well, what didn't go so well, and action items to take into the next sprint to improve on. So we usually just take one or two action items, because if you make a whole list, it's not going to get done.
It's too much. I appreciate you breaking that down, and I have some questions that they flew out of my head, because I was relating it back to my own current project. And anyway, I'm sure it will come back.
Yeah. And so to summarize, the analogy I like to use with Scrum versus normal traditional waterfall project management is I always like to use analogies for my passions. I love travel. So normal waterfall is like buying a vacation package, where they set everything, everything is planned out to the T for you from start to end. And then Scrum is kind of like, I guess not many people might have this experience, but I spent a lot of time solo backpacking around the world, and like it was a significant amount of time, like a year and a half. So I didn't plan that whole year and a half trip at once. I did it like once I did country by country. So I like, because sometimes I wanted to stay longer somewhere. So that's kind of, I guess, my analogy. I don't know if that was a good one. Feel free to cut this part out.
No. I get it. I think sometimes being on the professional services side, I can be challenged with that extra nuance or that extra complexity of using more of an agile Scrum framework with like your team and then also the client's team. And I know you're on the consulting side, but you're working essentially in-house, right? Because you're full-time on your project or with this client. Have those barriers come up for you at all?
Can you specify barriers?
Yeah, so like, okay, yeah. So I'll give you an example of like, we scope a project, or typically we'll see like a statement of work comes out where a client's looking for a particular solution to their problems, right? Or a specific type of tech solution. It might not be fully designed, but let's say, hey, you know, we're going to contract you to implement Service Cloud so that we can track our metrics and then eventually improve our metrics for our customer experience. And so, you know, as a Scrum Master / project manager, I think a lot of people wear both hats, at least from what I've seen. Like, I wear both hats a lot of the times, where like it's a blend. Like, we might do discovery and design in more of a waterfall way, but then we're iterating on what the implementation is actually going to look like using sprints. But the barriers I'm speaking to are like, it's not like we have an end picture of, we need to get Service Cloud off the ground. So sometimes it seems challenging with the sprint, or at least for me and for other people. I know I'm not the only one. Like, we might do all of the ceremonies and get to the retrospective or get to the sprint review and do the demo, but then like they might want something. It's like, well, that's out of scope. So it's like, there's not as much flexibility. Whereas like now, where I'm working on an in-house, like, kind of similar to you, I work for a firm, but I service 40 hours a week full time to an account. There's a lot more flexibility there, like on how we spend the hours, how we spend the time, and the prioritization. Anyway, I'm rambling. Does that help? clarify a little bit?
It does. Yes. I'm in a bit of a unique situation. Like, I'm the only person from my consultancy on this team. So my SOW is really, the scope is really just Scrum Master tasks. Because my client is such a big company, it's in the medical device industry, there's a lot of red tape and extra approvals and things we have to do, which is under me. But I don't really, it's mostly the product owner that leads the project management and confirms what we work on. So like, which I love, I'm like, okay, cool. And we don't have any, it's mostly ongoing maintenance or enhancements for most of the time. We will have projects, but it's not like that's in my SOW that I have to complete this at a certain time. I really just need to make sure like the team is all set, and I remove their blockers, and I get all the Jira stories and bugs approved in time so the team can deploy it into production. So I don't really have, I have like a dream job, honestly.
I love that.
I don't ever want to leave. And I love being like consultancy side, but working for the client, because it feel like when you work for a consultancy, it feels like, you know, you don't have all your eggs in a basket. Like if like the client can have layoffs, but the consultancy, they have multiple projects. So like, you know, I always have somewhere to go, hopefully. So I don't know. I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Like, and I know that, I mean, I say this, who knows? Typically, the engagements don't last forever, right? And so, because right now, as I mentioned kind of before we got on, I'm also working for a consulting firm, but I work full time for one specific client. Or it's common in smaller firms. I work for a very large firm, but in smaller firms, typically you're stretched across multiple projects, yada, yada. And I also really like almost being able to integrate myself as a member of their team, but still having the flexibility of, you know, if that project were to end, if there wasn't a good fit, like as you're saying, there's other opportunities out there. And something that I love is being able to see a wide variety of industries and businesses. Because I know, I mean, I don't know about this particular account. There's people on the account who've been here for 7 or 8 years, which is a new experience for me. Typically, the accounts I've been on, like maybe they have a few year relationship with the consulting firm. And then other than that, like they'll move on, or they won't need a partner anymore, et cetera, et cetera. But so in the past, it's been like 6 months or maybe a year, and then like you move on, which I always think is so sad. But I like being able to have exposure to all different things. Like I've worked with at least 40 or 50 organizations, which I'm 31. So if I weren't working for a consulting firm, that would have been like, you're right. Like I wouldn't have switched jobs every month.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
I mean, now it's kind of like people push to job hop, but like you can job hop without actually leaving your main job, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. It took me like 3 minutes to get out what I wanted to say.
That was good stuff though.
Oh my gosh. But how about like your work-life integration, what does that look like right now?
I get to work remote, which is amazing. So like when I have time in between meetings or whatnot, I can just go outside and tend to my garden. I have my phone and I have Teams on my phone, so if anyone pings me, I can do that. But it lets me like actually take a break, and I can go outside and walk, which I recommend. Like definitely, like don't be sitting in your chair for 8 hours a day. It's not healthy. So I really like that. Yeah. I think because I've been in this role the the client has re-signed me a few times, which is it's really nice.
Yeah,
I
always feel
you know
fine.
I've set up like templates and processes in place to help me get some time back. I've become very efficient in my role, and I can also focus on like improvements to the team and stuff like that. But it's nice, like this scrum master role, like it's not as much responsibility as a project manager where you got to deal with like budgets and stuff. But like it there are still challenges because you know different people, different personalities, new people leave, people hire on. There's always that part, but I love it. I love the work-life balance. Nothing major. There's not going to be a scrum master disaster, so it's low stress, right? Like no one's going to die if I like do something wrong, right?
Right.
It's low stress, but it does help the team run better. I feel like the bigger the company, the harder it is to navigate conversations, even figuring out who to talk to.
Yeah.
There's so many teams, so like I've gotten good at that. Like I've been here a while, so I'm starting to be like that person that knows everyone. Like, oh, I know exactly who to go to for that issue. So that's a little pro of staying in a company a long time. You finally like figure it out, and you're not spending time just playing catch up to get used to the new role.
I love this. Let's see here. Oh, okay. I also wanted to ask you because you also are a podcaster. So pivoting a little bit, can you tell us about what that experience was like starting, any fears that you might have had or still have? And just what the experience was.
Yeah, it's been awesome. We have like a producer and someone who edits who can remove all my filler words because it is a lot, but you can't tell on the podcast. My co-host is amazing, Bradley Rice from Talent Stacker. It's nice. It's like he's an extrovert and he likes to talk. I'm an introvert, and I have not. No one would ever describe me as long-winded in my life. So, it's a nice balance back and forth. It's very helpful, like bringing in guests, so you can like steer the conversations. Honestly, I feel like they just like been carrying me on. I'm like really honored that like I was invited to co-host the podcast. I don't know, it's been fun, like, and we don't prep too much. But it's like this, it's a conversation. So I enjoy it, although I get a little stressed out because public speaking is, you know, it's scary to most people. And even though it's, you know, it's just like a couple people online, I'm just like, oh, a lot of people are gonna listen to this. Please don't say anything dumb. And oh my God, sorry, I'm getting really distracted right now because there is a bunny rabbit.
Yes, I'm here for the distraction.
Oh my God. Okay.
Long ears or short ears?
Medium. Wait, what are how long are short ears? It looks like this long,
like the ones that are up, and then the long ones are flappy that kind of go back in the
they're
back.
Up. Oh. This is good to know for when I start a veg garden. It's okay. It's just eating the weeds right now. All right, focus.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Podcasting. Literal squirrel, but bunny.
Oh, don't get me started on the squirrel. They've been digging up all my bulbs.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm inspired now to do a LinkedIn post about like the squirrels of the metaphorical squirrels in our life, in our day-to-day life.
Oh, that would be a good one. Anyway, so for the podcast, I enjoy it, although like I get scared because during it, because I'm like, oh, I gotta ask a good question. But thankfully my co-host is amazing. So I don't know, it's nice to it's nice to get like feedback when people message me on LinkedIn, or if I meet them in person, they're like, oh, I love the podcast. It really inspired me. I was like, oh, that's why I do it, because I definitely don't like talking, but I'm just hoping this helps someone else out there, just at least one person. And yeah.
I love that. I've been so surprised people who have messaged me. So I can definitely relate to that. It's like, what, you listen, and what, it was helpful? What, this is working? Like, ah!
Oh, girl. Yeah, the success stories. Oh, I love hearing that.
I listen to your podcast too, and I really like it. I think it's really fun.
Oh, thank you.
Fun might not be the right word to describe it, but I have enjoyed it. And I'm like, I know her. I know Anita.
Thank you. It's so weird. Like, I think it's happened one time. Someone outside of my, like, the Salesforce world, like in my personal world, was like, hey, I heard you. I was like, oh my God, that's so weird. Because, like, I don't know about you, but I have, like, boundaries between my personal life and, like, career stuff. And I was like, oh my God, someone from outside of Salesforce has heard this.
Right. No, I feel you. Oh, goodness. Well, is there anything else that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Yes. On the pre questions you shared, you did ask me like my favorite quote, which I had to really think about. I was like, oh, I don't know off the top of my head. I have a photo album, and like I used to screenshot and save quotes, but I have two that stick with me. I have the memory of a goldfish. So they're like very short and sweet. It's probably the only thing I can remember. Tomorrow's never promised. I don't know who originally said this, but my fiance said this to me. And that's why, like, it's important to, you know, use your PTO, take your vacations, don't put anything off, go visit family and friends and do all that stuff. Don't get stuck like, oh, I gotta work and save money and all this. You know, tomorrow's never promised. Enjoy your life. It needs balance. Mm-hmm. And the second one, again, I have no idea who said this quote. I might be misquoting it, even though it's like five words. And I say this to myself when I'm procrastinating. Is it one day or day one? So one day I'll start exercising, or is this going to be day one of exercising?
Oh, I just got chills because I keep saying, like, I'm going to stop eating this deliciously stuffed crust pizza. Or like, today's the day I'm going to eat a little bit healthier. And then I'm like, I'm going to start that a few days from now. Pizza came to mind because that was the internal conflict I had last night. Wow. Is it one day or is it day one?
Yep.
Giving me lots to digest here, Anita.
I love the segue of the stuffed crust pizza to digest. I saw what you did there.
Oh, I didn't even mean to. Sometimes I feel so corny when I say, like, I need to digest that. But I do. I need to let my brain crunch it and do something with it. And hopefully let it sit in with my subconscious to help me make more aligned decisions.
Okay, I said the quote. I still struggle like with the exercise. I'm like, well, I go hiking when I go on vacation, and I talk. That counts.
Like, I'm just here to spread the wisdom, but I may not follow it all the time.
Those who can't do teach. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Oh my word. Ay, ay, ay. Anita, if people want to learn more about your Scrum in a Box templates, or about you personally, where can they find you?
Sure, yeah. You can find me at LinkedIn. I think I don't know what my tag, it's like linkedin.com, Anita-Salesforce, or just type in Anita Smith, might change to Jones, depending on when you hear this. Oh. Yeah, getting married later this year. And if you're interested in my course, head over to anitaunboxed.mykajabi.com. I probably should get like a better URL, but I, you know.
You're good. You're good.
Procrastinating. One day.
It's day one. Aw, well, Nita, thank you for coming on here. Really thank enjoyed getting to chat me. With you.
Yeah, I always enjoy our chats, April.
Me too. Me too.